the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
And, you know, I like promised the recording.
Well, I mean, you know, stuff happens. It happens, you know, everything's going on. How's the weather there?
Today it's cold and unusually cold, but typically the last couple of weeks it's been in the 60s. So it's been real nice.
Yeah, well, that's good. So you just had the birthday party. Well, how'd you have the birthday party? Virtually or inside or drive by? What'd you do?
Nope, I want hugs. I like real people.
I know.
It was just my family, though, and the grandbaby and her mother and my son and his friends. So
it's hard. I know my mother wasn't feeling good, and I had to take her to the hospital. And I was debating, do I take her, don't I take her? I don't want her there by herself. If she's got to be sick, she might as well be sick with me.
Yes, I agree. It's scary nowadays. And so many germs there anyways that...
I know.
I'm not sure if you
or the lack of attention to care because there's so many people there.
Yep. Yep.
But we are here on the Edge together, me and you. Brains, we are welcoming our guest today. Who is that? Betty Barnett. We're going to talk about bunny mindset. But we're going to go deep into it because, you know, there's some trickery. I hip y'all to the trickery all the time. And money is not what you think it is. It has a whole different purpose. And we need to lighten up on it because people are letting it control every aspect of their life and they don't know how to position it. They don't know how to use it. They don't know how to make it work for them instead of them working for it. You know, we're going to talk about that. And you know what? She is a champion of a game that you wouldn't even imagine. We're going to talk about that too. So that's so fun. Brains, help me welcome her to On the Edge, Betty Barnett.
Hi, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you for, you know, entrusting me to help you share your story. Share your story with my brains. Tell me how you you got all into this coaching and how you focused it on money.
Oh, yeah, I would love to. 40-something years of a nice little shorter version. I was a teen mother standing in welfare lines trying to raise my oldest son. Then I transitioned into being a married stay-at-home mom with my other two, so three children total, and spent, you know, many years being a stay-at-home mom. And I was very, very proud of that. I'm very proud of raising my own babies, and they were my priority. And then when my dad got ill a couple of years ago and I had to take care of him, it really drove home that today is a gift and tomorrow is not promised, and that it was time for me to start living what I have had in my heart since I was in my teens, the mission that I thought I was put here to do, which is to be a coach. And so after he passed away and I took some time to heal, then I went back to school and got all my coaching certificates and certifications and started my coaching career. So now I've been professionally coaching for over 5 years. I started in health coaching, life coaching, and then I transitioned into this money mindset coaching after realizing how many of the beliefs that I was holding about money were holding me back from accepting and manifesting the clients and the money that I was trying to get, but I was holding it all back with my own beliefs. So now I empower women to change the way they're thinking about money so that they can accept it and hold it gracefully. So,
well, I had to take my scarf off, girl, because you're talking my language. We're talking about money. Okay. So, Brains, let's go back. Let's dial back. Money is nothing but a vehicle of exchange. Paper money was created by the Chinese. And what they did was when people were coming through China and they were making trades, they weren't able to bring their cattle. They weren't able to bring the furs. They weren't able to bring the baskets. So what they did is they created this paper currency and as a receipt for goods or services, okay? And then it took on value because, again, this receipt was responsible for the value of the goats, the chickens, the furs, whatever it was. Well, somewhere along the line, folks got tricked up. And they let this paper currency, which is no more important than any other piece of paper on your desk, dictate their lives. And they wanted to hoard it and they wanted to consume it. And, you know, you think about it. What is your relationship with money? Who controlled the money growing up? See, my mother controlled the money to a degree. Mm-hmm. And she made it seem like it grew on trees, girl. We wouldn't go buy one pair of shoes. We'd go buy three. And I say, Mama, can I have, you know, $5 to go skate? And she gave me 20. I mean, it was lovely. Okay. So I was a little distorted. I always thought that just money just came like that. But my father, on the other hand, he could go in his pocket and feel whose face was on which bill. He was that type. Because growing up, he never had enough. And he always felt that, you know, the more I have and hold on to, it'll be okay. So again, who controls the money? Are you the female in the house that, you know, the husband works and you control the money? Or are you the wife that is in the house that has no control over the money? But I really love your story, Betty, because you were there and you were there on social services. You were getting the assistance that you need. You know, yeah. There's no shame in that, Brains, because we work hard. But I do have an issue with entitlement. I do have an issue with long-term government sustainability.
Yes, me too.
That at a point, you need to get up off your ass and get a job, get a hustle, something, because it gets annoying. And when I go to the doctor, you know, I pay exorbitant amounts of money, okay? Other people go. They don't even pay a copay. If I went right now to get some social service, my husband died or whatever, I'd have to sell everything I had to be able to get some assistance. So Betty, you know, I ran the gamut on this because it's really alarming and people have it confused. How are you working with people to set their mind right around money?
Oh, a few different ways, but exactly what you just said is we carry those stories that we grew up with into our adulthood. And oftentimes you do one of two things. You are either repeating what you grew up with, or people will turn it the other way. They'll say, you know, I never had anything growing up, so I'm going to give my kids everything. I'm going to give them everything because I had nothing. You know, it's like people will either stay on that same path or they end up trying to do the exact opposite, which has the opposite effect on their children, you know, but it's these unconscious beliefs that we have that were formed when we were young, usually before 5 years old, that are still dictating the way that we are with money now. And one of the things that I teach is the sacred money archetypes. And in those eight archetypes, we all are all eight, but the stories that we grew up with and the things that we were exposed to as children started to highlight the characteristics in a dominant archetype. And so that dominant archetype gets highlighted and that becomes how you really do money and how you are with money. And so by teaching the archetypes to my clients, I actually help them to not take it so personally. Like they can distance themselves from, oh, this is the way Betty is with money, to now I can say, nope, that's my accumulator making that decision. Or, you know, that's the nurturer in me making that decision. And then I can stop and pattern correct and make a different, more conscious choice instead of just doing the same old habit that I always do, the old belief that I always have. And then I get the same result that I've always gotten, you know? So if you're believing that you're not good with money, I hear that a lot. Well, I'm just not good with money.
Right.
If that's what you're believing, then you're going to keep getting, I'm not good with money. You're going to keep getting situations where you're just not doing good with money because that's the dominant belief. Right. So I help my clients distance themselves a little bit with the archetypes, be conscious of what they're believing about money, and then update those beliefs to something that's more empowering for them today.
Exactly. And, you know, God blesses a child that's got his own. I've been married 36 years to Mr. Magnificent, and you best believe I got me a nest egg. You think I'm just sitting up here collecting dust? Because you never know. Folks change their mind. Right. And that is one of the biggest things in divorce, you know? After you get over the fact that, you know, they're not in love with you or they're not having sex with you anymore, now you want to control them. Now you want to fight them and you want to strip them from everything that you've built together. And that's the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes women get it and sometimes they don't. Get your own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So women and money is a challenge because, you know what, women are afraid of money. And I am not afraid of money. You need to teach your children financial literacy with regards to world currencies, brains, yes. Not just the dollar bill, because you're about to see something that's going to go down here in a minute and it ain't going to be pretty, okay? Right. So world currencies, how currency works, the exchange rates, how to invest your money, how to, you know, investing your money is so fun. You know, yeah. I got my daughter with penny stocks. And she's doing pretty well right now, you know, and you can do that. Mm-hmm. It is a part of just your day-to-day functions, but it doesn't have to control you or consume you. So when you work with your clients, what is the first thing that you teach them when it comes to examining their money and what goals they're setting for themselves moving forward?
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing up all of those different issues because it really is so important. If we go back to the marriage example, money is the top reason why couples fight, mm-hmm. you know? And it's the number one reason for divorce.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a good relationship with money, then you're going to have a much harder time having a good relationship with your spouse, right? So if you guys can be on the same page with money, then you're just setting yourself up for success. So it is important to recognize how money starts to trickle in all these other things. Like you said, in parenthood, what are you teaching your children about money? Are you even talking to them about it? Or do you just do like you were saying with your mom, where you just go to the store and you buy the things and they ask for money and you hand them money and there's no context behind it?
No consequence.
You know, when you hand them that $20, is it, well, I had to work 2 hours for this $20, but here, have the $20, you know, or is it you just give it to them? You know, so having those conversations with your children is really important. And what I do with my clients is I help them realize that you are in a relationship with money. You are in a relationship with money and it needs your attention and it needs your focus. And when you're conscious of that, and when you start to think, okay, what do I want for my retirement? Which I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm not helping people buy stocks or things like that, but I am helping them start to realize what is their relationship with money and what do they want? Where do they want their relationship with money to go? And sometimes just taking the time to think about that is the first step. Like, what am I currently experiencing and what would I rather be experiencing instead? And that's what I help them decide. And when they tell me what it is that they would like to be experiencing instead, then I give them the accountability and the support and the right system to help them actually achieve what it is that they're wanting.
So, you know, they have to strip you. And it's the fear of money. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not opening up your bills. Open your doggone bills, brains, okay? If you owe the IRS, they're not going away. Call them on the phone and say, hey, look, it's a pandemic. I can't pay you because COVID-19. I didn't get my unemployment, you know, whatever it is. But you have to communicate with people. You wouldn't believe how flexible they are. I'm going to tell you a story. I love to tell them stories.
Sure, please.
So once upon a time, I had bad credit. Everybody's been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. But what I did was I said, let me look at it. I was so afraid. So I took a pen and piece of paper and I wrote a love letter to my money.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I wrote this letter and I talked to money like it had a tail. You are controlling, you are manipulative. Why I don't have enough for you? Why do I have to work this? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And then I had to pause and it flipped around. Money wrote me back. Mm. And my pen was just going like this. I couldn't stop. And it was saying, why are you giving me so much power? I don't have any strength. I only have the value on it that you put on it. Why are you spending me like, you know, like you're printing me? Why? And I had to be responsible. And then I looked at my credit report and I said, wow. So I wrote the people for the credit report. There was two bills that was on there that were a little substantial. The companies had went out of business, brains, took it off my credit. I looked at my bills and I said, well, this isn't that bad. I learned how to negotiate my interest rates. I called these people. I said, look, I don't have no money. Freeze this account, but will you lower the interest rate? Voila. Let me tell you, within 18 months, I was financially free as a bird. And I have been financially free ever since. But it all started with a manifestation. It all started with a thought. And it all started with an idea. Mm-hmm. And it was like, what do I want to bring forth? What do I really want to happen here? You know, do I want to win the lottery? No, because if I don't have a good relationship with money, I'm going to be in a worse predicament. More money, more problems. So when I really looked at it and I asked myself authentically, what do I really want here? Do I want to be financially free? Do I want to know how to, you know, have good credit? Do I want to know how to make money? Do I want to know how to have two or three revenue streams of income? What do I really want? And that's a part of the manifestation. And that's what you also teach, Miss Betty. Tell them a little bit about the tools that you give your clients when it comes to manifesting.
Yeah, I'd love to just speak to your story for a moment if I can. What I hear when you're saying that is Miss April took control of her life. She took control of her situation. When those credit cards were sitting off on the side and you were ignoring them and not thinking about them, all the power was over there. All the power was with the other people. You're thinking, oh, poor is me. Oh, woe is me. Because all these people have all the power. When you picked that bill up and you said, no, I'm going to choose something different, you got the power back. You said, I have control over this and I'm going to take control over this. And that's what I do for my clients is I help them take the control, because as soon as you realize how powerful your thoughts are and what you're believing and what you're thinking, then that's when you feel powerful. That's when you're ready to make choices and to start to have the abundance that is waiting, sitting there waiting for you. It's waiting for all of us. This world is incredibly abundant, but we have to get out of our own heads and allow that abundance to flow to us easily. And that's what I help my clients do is take that power back. You have the choice over how you're thinking, what you're believing, and what you're sending out to the universe as far as your relationship to money. And so by taking a few steps just to say, what have I been thinking about money? What has been the story I tell myself over and over and over when it comes to it? And what do I want my new story to be? That's incredibly powerful. It seems so simple, but it is incredibly powerful when you make that choice.
It is so freeing. It is so freeing because you know what? Knowledge is power. When it is applied, you can know everything in the world and not do anything with it. You're at a disadvantage. And so again, it's, you know, it's taking control. It's driving. And yes, it's going to be a mess, but you have to take ownership too, because who created that mess?
Right.
Who went and bought those 5-6 pairs of shoes during the pandemic? You're not going nowhere. You're not going to wear them. You know, you're on the shopping channel. I ain't hating on the shopping channel, but you don't need that stuff because you're bored. Go out and get a, you know, take a walk. Or read a great book. And let's talk about great books. Let's talk about your book, Betty, because she wrote it all down for you, James.
I would love to. Like I said, I started off as...
Let me see it. We want to see the book.
So Hold on.
It says, start thriving as a coach. Release your money blocks and learn to manifest like a master. You see that? A sack full of money and it's growing on trees.
Yes.
And on Amazon, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And you're going to have an opportunity.
Amazon bestseller, actually.
What? See? Yes, right to the top. All right. So tell us what's inside those pages, baby.
So what it is when I first came out of coaching school, there were so many amazing coaches that I had gone to school with that wanted to change the world exponentially. They wanted to help people get healthy. They wanted to help people with their mindset, with their limiting beliefs, with their, like I said, their health and their happiness and their productivity, these amazing men and women that had gone to school with me. And then they stepped out into the real world, trying to make a business as a coach, trying to make that their main source of income. And I saw them just start falling like flies. Mm-hmm. Like they had such good souls and intentions to change the world and make it a better place, but then they couldn't make money at it. And so they just started dropping and going back to their soul sucking jobs that they were trying so desperately to get out of. And it was mainly because they were still so stuck in their own heads around their beliefs around money that they weren't manifesting the clients and the income that they wanted. And the same thing was happening for me. And I had that one special person, that one special coach who took me on that journey, who said, Betty, you're doing this to yourself. This is all in your head. There's plenty of people. There's billions of people in this world that are ready to pay you for your skill set.
Ready, girl.
You're the one pushing them away. And you're the one not letting them come into your life. It's all in your head. And so when she helped me get out of my own head and I started to see the universe send me those perfect, beautiful clients and the ones who were willing to say, yes, I will pay that. I want this transformation. I'm ready to change my life. How much do you need to help me change my life? And those clients were having exponential results once they said yes to themselves. And so I wrote this book to help coaches keep coaching because there are so many good souls out there who want to do good work, but they're not thriving. And so they give up. And so this book is my gift to coaches so that they can help change their mindset and they can keep coaching. But it really is a book for any woman entrepreneur. Anyone who wants a better relationship with money can read this book, can go through the exercises, can start thinking differently, can get all the free downloads on my website that are going to help them to achieve what it is that they're wanting to achieve, their relationship with money. You can take that free archetype quiz. You can learn what your archetype is, or what your money personality is, and start changing the way that you behave with the combination of knowing what your personality is. And then I go into it in the book. I explain all the different money personalities and then you can start utilizing that information, not just to change yourself, but to understand your clients or your customers' buying powers as well. How are they making their decisions about money? And you start to understand all the different kinds of people out there, and you can start to apply that knowledge to your clients and your customers that you're trying to attract to yourself.
That's powerful, because I'm going to tell you, Brains, you know, I'm in business. Mm-hmm. I'm not in bullshit. And I tell you from the get-go, if you're not with me, that's fine. But I'm like a Ferrari. I'm moving straight on. And I can't move straight on if I stay in park or if I go in reverse. Sometimes you got to be idle and neutral, but baby, I am downshifting into drive. And there are billions of people on this planet that are still doing business, great business, spending money, investing in themselves, not in me, but in themselves. When I market and promote you, when Betty coaches you, this is an investment in yourself.
Right.
You know? And I am the vehicle of exchange that you give and get the receipt from. Mm-hmm. Facilitate this transaction because it's transactional. Everybody wants ROI. Everybody wants a return on their investment. And if they don't, you're not in business. You in bullshit. Okay. You can play business. I mean, you can. You can play. You can be a jobby hobbyist. I don't have a problem with that. I admire that. But when you tell me that you are a woman in business, or you are an entrepreneur, or you are a C-level or E-level, I need to see some results. I need to see it dripping off of you. Because other than that, you have no street credibility. You have no receipts. And that's what people want. They want to know that you have integrity. If I'm paying Betty to coach me and Betty can't make the money to invest and reinvest in her business and herself, I'm a little concerned. Because everything is ever evolving. Yeah. Am I serious? Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we don't have time for that. And especially in this economy, the dollar is going to change. You know, again, we done gave out trillions of dollars in stimulus that we just printed. You know, we're not backed by gold. We're not backed by silver. Our stock market is going to be concerned with the new administration. 45 is gone. 46 is coming in. So everybody's going to be concerned. So look at your money. Open your bills. Buy Betty's book. Work with, you know, if you're going to make an investment, don't buy the shoes. Buy some Betty. on the edge and market and promote yourself so people know that you exist. Because if you don't pass the sniff test and they've never been introduced to you, it's a mute point. Am I right, Betty?
Absolutely. And it's not even, instead of the shoes, go buy my book. Invest in you, invest in your mindset, invest in the way that you want 2021 to be. Like, so many people are complaining about the way 2020 was because quite frankly, it caught a lot of people with their pants down. They thought that there was always going to be another paycheck, and then all of a sudden there wasn't. And they had nothing in place to prepare themselves for the day that there wasn't a paycheck. And so now people are having to rethink how they do things and how secure they are and how maybe they were living before with, you know, just assuming there would always be more. And yes, I believe in an abundance mindset and believing that there's always going to be more, but I'm also an accumulator who wants to make sure that I'm safe in case there's not.
Right. You know? Because again, you don't know, you know, just again, food lines. I see people in these food lines that they were the people that were handing out. Now they're receiving the handout. Mm. You know, there's going to be people that are not able to have medical insurance to get the vaccine for whatever reason, whether they don't have it or they don't have a job to support it. You know, that great restaurant that I used to go and get my Oriental soup, gone. I'm disappointed, you know? So everything is changing, but we're not being Debbie Downers, we're being realists. Yeah. And you have to pivot and you gotta knock it around like a game of foosball, right? Be a foosball champion, right?
Yes.
She knows how to hit it and kick it and spin it. Tell me a little bit about that and how you got involved.
Play with the boys just as their equal.
That's right. You're superior because you're whooping their butt. Because you play competitively. Tell us a little bit about that.
I do. I've played foosball since I was about 14 years old. And played all through college. And then when I had my babies at home, I didn't get to play as much, but I finally got back into touring and playing competitively about 3 years ago and finally won my first championship title and my first jacket, which is something that I had wanted for 20 years and finally manifested to myself. Now I get to wear something that I used to dream about. And so there's so many skills that you need in a game like that, that is very strategic. It is very calculated. You have to practice, you have to show up, you have to be willing to be afraid and scared and still be powerful within yourself. And I just use those tools throughout my whole life. Like, you know, just feel the fear and do it anyways. Like compete, like you're just as good as everyone else. You know,
let me ask you a little question about the game, because I don't understand it. All I did was spin it. And so it, again, like you say, it's strategic. So Is it a kind of board game that is a combination of football and soccer? I don't understand the game.
You know, I can't really even relate it to something other than what it is in my mind. Like, I can't relate it really to soccer or football. I mean, I guess it is, you're trying to get a ball in the end zone, right? Like in the goal. But it really is, you either play by yourself one-on-one, or you play in teams where you have somebody as a goalie and you're the forward. But the way that you're getting the ball from one of your rods to the next rod is sheer talent. It's not just hitting it, being able to block the other guy. And then once you get that ball, being able to read the defense, being able to watch what they're doing, how they're trying to block you, to know what your skill set is, to know what you're good at, and be able to determine what's the best way for me to get this ball in the hole.
it's really very calculated. It's not just hit it as hard as you can and hope it goes in when you're playing at a competitive level.
Right. Well, that's good. Now I'm going to pay closer attention because I never really thought that it was a competitive sport. You know mm-hmm. what it is. And, you know, I was used to be good at ping pong. And so I'm, you know, good at tennis and things like that and dominoes, but I've never played a game like that, you know, and I've used it, the skeet, but now I'll look at it and I'll think of you every time, Betty. And I'll say, you know what? She's a winner and money mindset, but brains also take into consideration is that she has a distraction mm-hmm. and a good distraction that teaches her to be strategic, responsible, a go-getter, and challenging, and working by herself or working with a team. Mm-hmm. All of that. And so get a good distraction. Get something that is going to get your money off, get your mind off your money, and really figure out how you can work things out strategically, and then it'll all fall in line. And get a pen and a piece of paper and write yourself a letter. Write money a letter and see what money has to say. Then get in a quiet place and start to manifest. When you finish doing that, pick up your book and read it and create a blueprint, a direction for your life. Betty, you have just been amazing. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you.
And if everybody just really, you know, just one step at a time, don't worry about getting to the six figures, you know, just level off. Just make sure that you can maintain. That's the most important thing that we want you to do here on The Edge. You there? She's there with me, Brains.
I am there with you.
Tell my brains how to get in contact with you. They want to work with you. They want to purchase the book. They want, you know, an introduction. They want to follow you online. How do they get you, girl?
Sure. So I try to make it as easy as possible. BettyBarnett.com. You can do all things through there. You can buy my book. You can take my free money personality quiz, find out who you are when it comes to money. You can book free sessions with me. You can book, you can join my boot camps. You can look into my masterminds. Everything is right there on my website. So it's a one-stop shop, just BettyBarnett.com. And that's Barnett with two T's.
That's the best shopping you can do right there. Thank you, baby. I appreciate you so much. Come back on The Edge. Keep me posted what's going on. Again, Brace, take advantage of it. I'm trying to give you the best and the brightest so that you can prepare yourself. You know, in case the bottom falls out, we're here to catch you. Right, Betty?
Yes, ma'am. All right. Take control.
All right, baby. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.